Lindell TV is pleased to present The Stone Zone with your host, Roger Stone. Roger served as a senior campaign aide to three Republican presidents, is a New York Times best-selling author, and a longtime friend of President Donald Trump. As an outspoken libertarian, Stone has appeared on thousands of broadcasts, spoken at countless venues, and lectured before Oxford Union Society and the Cambridge Union Society. Due to his 4+ decades in the political and cultural arena, Roger has become a pop culture icon. And now, here is your host, Roger Stone.
Hello, everybody. I'm your guest host, Alan Jacoby, covering for Roger Stone. Welcome to the Stone Zone. Hope you're all doing well out there. Roger is traveling, saving America. I don't know how he does it. He's all over the place. But I'm here, Alan Jacoby. I'm the host of the Great Divide podcast, and I'm going to be with you for the hour for the Stone Zone. Joining me later in the show will be Sean Farish, also known as Captain Deplorable, does the best Trump impression. I think he does Trump better than Trump. And he's going to join me to talk about some issues going on in my home state, where Sean is from, New York, and Lee Zeldin and the governor election and things like that. A lot of things happening. Steve Bannon today was found guilty of both counts of the contempt of Congress from the January 6th Kangaroo Committee. It took the jury, I believe, about 3 hours to deliberate and come to that verdict. Now, let's face it. Washington, D.C., the deep state, the swamp, unelected bureaucrats, elected swamp trolls. That's what D.C. breeds. So no conservative or Republican anywhere would be able to get a fair trial in Washington, D.C. Case in point, Roger Stone, when they vilified him in a Soviet show trial, and the jury foreman, the judge, the place is saturated with D.C. staffers, government employees, and again, no fair trial. And of course, it shows again with Steve Bannon, who the trial didn't last long at all. And we knew what the verdict, I knew what the verdict was going to be. He's going to appeal, it looks like. Now, they say, I believe, now I'm not an attorney, I'm not a judge, but I believe he could get up to a year for each count in jail and some fines. Maybe the judge who is Trump appointed will see fit to go against the jury or a lighter sentence. I believe he's supposed to be sentenced in October 21st, I believe. But again, jury deliberated for about 3 hours. And, you know, Steve Bannon, another controversial figure. He's the host of the War Room. He was the CEO of the Trump campaign in 2016. He was the president of Breitbart News Outlet. He's done a lot. He has a big show. And we'll see what happens with this and who else this disgusting January 6th Kangaroo Committee is going to come after. You know, now they have anti-Trump, former Trump administration employees coming out, telling stories that are all hearsay, case in point, like Cassidy Hutchinson, which we know that has been debunked by the Secret Service, who came out and said that, her stories just don't compute with what we know as far as the Secret Service goes. But again, they had their, it was supposed to be their last hearing yesterday on Thursday. But now, today, I had heard that they're going to, now that today was supposed to be the last one, but wait, there's more, like a bad infomercial, because that's what I feel like this is, just a big smear campaign. So what they're going to do now is they're going to take August off, apparently, and they have more evidence and information they want to review, and they're going to reconvene sometime in September. Now, to me, this just seems just you know, convenient because then we'll be 3 months from the midterms. So they'll still be able to carry on their nonsense kangaroo court into the midterms to try to sway as many people away from America First candidates, Republican candidates running for office, conservatives as well. So this, again, is just, it's like the impeachment 3.0, where they're just doing it for the optics, for the political smear, and the hopes that they can turn maybe more independents or a stretch some Republicans against the big bad orange man, Donald J. Trump, who most likely, I think, is a certainty that he is going to run again for president of the United States in 2024. But they will continue to go after everyone that he surrounds himself with or who was at one time associated with him in the hopes, again, to vilify the Republican Party, vilify all conservatives, make us all look like, try to paint us as white supremacists, American nationalists, insurrectionists, and misogynists, transphobe, homophobes, and every other phobe you can think of is what the left wants to make us look like. You know, the party of acceptance and the party of tolerance, and all they do is attack, attack, attack. I find on my social media constantly, you know, I have a rather large following on Facebook, which today I got a 24-hour, just a 24-hour Facebook ban. I've had accounts nuked completely, but today, because I posted a meme of Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton sitting in a convertible, which is an actual photo, I believe, of a show that they're going to be, like a reality show for the two of them. But someone made a meme and put the Jeffrey Epstein air freshener hanging from the rearview mirror in between them that says, "This air freshener did not hang itself," with a picture of Jeffrey Epstein on it. And Facebook said that that was, I believe, some sort of hate speech against that and something about promoting promoting suicide. So they take it down and they notify me that I am banned for 24 hours. Anyway, I find on social media a lot more lately within the past few weeks, but it happens often, that the leftist trolls, the progressives, they're, you know, following me there. So they can basically just troll. There's nothing new, but they're doing it more and more. And of course, we know those who have social media out there, whether it's Truth Social, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whatever, Gab, whatever it might be, none of them are safe from leftist trolls. If you're big on Truth Social right now, which I am, I'm very active on Truth Social at the Great Divide podcast. There are a lot of leftist trolls on there that will try to get you to engage, that will just come on there and make profiles and just come at all conservatives. Now, it seems that the trolling there is a little less, I guess you could say, lethal, in the fact that you're probably not going to get banned or suspended from Truth Social if you engage with those leftists. But you can't say the same about Facebook and Instagram and obviously even Twitter, the septic tank of all social media platforms. And I'm a believer Elon Musk is not a hero. He's not going to save Twitter. He's not going to save social media. I'm not a big fan of Elon Musk. I think he's in deep with the CCP in his business dealings. But that's another story. But on Facebook and Instagram, all it takes is one troll to start engaging with you. And if you don't have that self-control and not engaging with that troll, then they're going to report you. And it's going to be for something so minuscule. You don't have to curse. You don't have to make death threats, which you shouldn't anyway. You don't have to promote violence, which nobody should be doing anyway. But they will see that you are the conservative. They are the disgusting progressive leftists. And they will suspend you, ban you, or disable your account. It's good versus evil. And we know what side evil is on. And it is not the conservative side of things. I mean, You have these disgusting, nefarious progressives that are targeting our schools and targeting our children. And I talk about that a lot on my show because I have a daughter that she's going into the fifth grade that I had pulled out of, you know, government schools, public schools, because of the messaging and what they're teaching, and put her in a homeschool co-op where I don't have to worry about her being sexualized or being taught all of this victimology in her classroom. You know, it's really disgusting. Before I move on, we have to recognize why and how the Stone Zone is here on Lindell TV. And that's made possible, obviously, by the great American patriot, Mike Lindell, and MyPillow.com. MyPillow is great. They even sponsor my show. But if you go over to MyPillow.com right now, you can save up to 66% on hundreds of amazing products using promo code STONE. Make sure you use promo code STONE. You'll save big. I mean, they have dog beds, which my 105-pound German Shepherd Stallone absolutely loves his dog bed. And they're big enough and great enough for large dogs like that. The slippers are great. The bathrobes, they even have beds, pillow. They have everything. And truly, I wouldn't have them as a sponsor of my show if they didn't have great products. And I know Roger feels the same. You have to believe in something. But Mike Lindell, great American patriot, always putting his money where his mouth is. Go to MyPillow.com, save big by using promo code STONE. So again, just, you can't say enough about Mike Lindell. He's out there in the trenches doing amazing. He's doing God's work. And we need more of Mike Lindell's. We need more of Roger Stone's out there who are speaking out, General Flynn's, and so many others. You know, speaking of, I know Roger had mentioned it on yesterday's show, which I was on it, about the Reawaken tour in Rochester, where they're trying to say that it's racist and it was canceled. And those people out there have to know that it wasn't canceled. There's no white supremacy at the Reawaken tour. There's no white supremacy. What boggles my mind is you can have 10 conservatives show up to a garage sale, and they'll say that garage sale is rooted in white supremacy because, you know, there are 10 conservatives there. So it doesn't matter what we do, where we go, how we gather. That gathering will always be labeled by the progressive left as those are evil people, and they're promoting white supremacy and they're promoting transphobia. No, we just don't want all of the segregation, and we're tired of the normalization of the sexualization of children in our schools. You know, but there are things, certain things you should be leaving to the parents when it comes to children. So with that, we have our commander in chief, the senile man in the White House, Sleepy Joe. He makes, you can't even call him gaffes anymore. I mean, the man is obviously on this cognitive decline, and he has been since he took office. And I'm done feeling sorry for him. His wife, Jill Biden, she's complicit. It's elder abuse. The whole Democratic Party, they've used him, and they're just about done with him. I firmly believe that they're either going to force him to resign or they're going to 25th Amendment him. But again, he's talking about, you know, oil, which, you know, he's at war with energy and oil, and he wants to make deals with China. Then he sits there and he tells people about how he used to drive around in the car with his father as a kid, use the windshield wipers and the oil slick, that they would be a film on the window, and that gave him and other people he knew and grew up with cancer. So the president of the United States makes this mistake that he decides to say he has cancer. Obviously, that wasn't on the teleprompter, so he went rogue, unless a moron speechwriter put that in, which I highly doubt. And then the White House, you know, they you know, to walk that back, as they say. But then a few days later, they say that he, or maybe the next day, he tested positive for COVID. Now, this is again, the president who not too long ago specifically said, when they were pushing the vaccines so very hard, the same vaccines that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris said not to take because Donald Trump was making them, you know, possible, that don't take anything that Donald Trump is bringing, don't trust it. And then right after Donald Trump leaves office, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and Dr. Fauci become some of the biggest vaccine salespeople out there. So Joe Biden says, you're not going to get COVID if you get vaccinated. He said that. There's clips of it everywhere. And not only did he say it, But the CDC, the director, she said it also, that you're not going to get COVID if you get vaccinated. I believe Rachel Maddow said it, and quite a few other leftist talking heads in the mainstream media. But here we go. Quadruple vaccinated Joe Biden, who made that statement, now tested positive for COVID. And the physician says he's a little run down. He has a runny nose, a little sore throat. They say today he's doing a little better. But they won't say. They complete threw up a stone wall. They when asked, well, where did he get infected? The White House, the press secretary, turns around and says, well, none of that matters. It doesn't matter where he was infected. And this is interesting because 2 years ago, it was so important to know where everybody got infected. Where did you contract the virus, the big bad COVID virus? You know, we had contact tracing, which, I mean, if you tested positive sometimes at a workplace or your child tested positive at school, you had these contact tracing people calling your house. They were getting your cell phone numbers and they were harassing you, asking all of these questions. But now all of a sudden it's not relevant when the commander in chief gets COVID. And we want to know, the American press wants to know, the American people would like to know, well, where did he get it? How did he get it? Who was he around? Are the people around him taking precautions? Do all of the people that were around him know the time he was infected? Again, this proves that there's absolutely no transparency. I mean, that's been proven on the first week he was installed in the Oval Office. But, you know, today he was doing a live stream video from his fake White House studio across from the executive office, which again, where can we? I don't think any other president has had a fake White House production studio. I believe Joe Biden is the only administration that has had a fake White House studio to make look like the White House, which I don't understand the theatrical production. Is there a reasoning behind it? There's a lot of speculation out there, but he's on a live stream Zoom with reporters and about gas prices. Oh, which, by the way, I got a deal today. I filled up my truck for $4.19 a gallon. I was almost doing backflips because most places around me are now around. It dropped a little bit, but not enough, about $4.50 a gallon. Anyway, they were, you know, then they were trying basically to reassure the country and the press that was asking that the president is in good health despite getting infected by COVID and that he's working hard. But the only photos that they're showing us is Joe Biden with a mask on behind a desk where he's quarantined, not the Oval Office, I believe the private office of the president, where he's on the phone, he's working hard, and on the Zoom call he took his mask off. He had a hoarse voice. He apologized for that, and he said he was feeling better. But when the press wanted to ask him, they, you know how the usual, the press will start yelling questions about how he's feeling and how he contracted COVID, if he knew anything, they cut the feed. They wouldn't let the sleepy old man talk anymore. They just cut it. He gave a thumbs up before the feed was cut. And again, this was all happened at the president's imitation White House studio. But why all of the smoke and mirrors? Why can't we be transparent with the American people as the Biden administration? I mean, this Biden regime, along with the Biden crime family, has just gotten so out of control. And what's really amazing is that the mainstream media, how, yes, there are some days where they'll push back on the Biden administration, but they have their marching orders. They're not going to turn against them completely. You know, you have your days where they'll put out statements, you know, something not so positive about the Biden administration. But let's face it, we know what the agenda is of the mainstream media, who's owned by the left, that they will do whatever they can to spin stories on any type of negativity with in regards to Joe Biden and anything he does. There are stories out there now that there are some more rumblings about the Ashley Biden diary that might be coming to light that I saw today. I didn't get a chance to read a lot about it, but quotes from her about not appropriate things she did as a young age, even one of them where she had said, you know, showering with my dad, probably not appropriate, is what the actual quote from the diary had said. Then you have everything that's going on with Hunter Biden. I mean, this guy is worse than a 13-year-old girl who's addicted to TikTok. I mean, he videos everything from him twerking while he's barbecuing to where he's skinny dipping and smoking crack, prostitutes and everything else. You know, you're talking about growing up a senator's son, a vice president's son, and now the president's son. Imagine how it would be if it was reversed and we were talking about Donald Trump Jr. Joining me soon, I'm sure he's going to be on very soon, again, is Sean Farish, Captain Deplorable. He's the founder of Long Island Land Majority. He's always got some great stuff going on. You may see him on Newsmax here and there. He's actually on Newsmax today. But first, I want you to take a minute. Roger Stone is still facing the harassment from the federal government in frivolous civil suits. They love nothing more than to be able to put handcuffs on him, put handcuffs on Donald Trump, and they know they have nothing. But still, you know, Roger Stone still has to deal with his attorneys to answer certain things, still deal with the lawsuits, and it's still costing him a lot of money. So if you could take a moment, you want to support a great patriot, Roger Stone, great friend of mine, go over to the StoneDefenseFund.com and consider donating something. I mean, there's nothing too small. $1, $5, it helps. Believe it or not, those small, the fingers make the hand, and it helps. StoneDefenseFund.com, help a great patriot, Roger Stone. We need Roger Stone. We need Roger Stone because Roger Stone speaks the truth. And he speaks the unfiltered truth. He's not afraid. And we need more people like that. And I like to consider myself as somebody who will look at everything that's going on and speak the truth as well. And that's what I try to do on my show on the Great Divide podcast. You know, we have to worry about our constitutional rights all the time with what's going on. Like, I wanted to touch on the 22-year-old in Indiana. His name is Eli Dickin. His name is spelled, it almost looks like Elijah, but his name is Eli Dickin. 22 years old. He's in a mall in Indiana, and he stopped a mass shooter. This time, a good guy with a gun wins, and he beat the bad guy with a gun. The bad guy with the gun, I believe, was 20 years old, goes into a mall, goes into the food court bathroom, throws his cell phone in the toilet, readies his weapon, which was, I believe, was an AR-15 style semi-automatic rifle. That's not an assault weapon, by the way. Assault weapons don't exist. And he came out of the food court bathroom and he started shooting people. I believe he killed three. And within 15 seconds of him starting to shoot, this 22-year-old Eli Dickin, who, in my opinion, and I don't use the word hero lightly. I think when a lot of people are called heroes, I kind of, they're not a hero. This kid, 22 years old, he's a hero. In 15 seconds, he neutralized the shooter. He shot him. He shot 8 times. He was carrying a weapon under Indiana's new law, constitutional carry, which I believe now only 25 states have, which means you don't need a permit. You can constitutionally carry. And he shot 10 times out of his weapon, out of his handgun, striking the shooter, the mass shooter, 8 times from 40 yards away and basically at a moving target. He was never in the military. He's not a police officer. He has no formal handgun or any firearm training. His grandfather taught him how to shoot growing up. Right place, right time. And not only did he take out the bad guy with the gun, but while he did it and like advancing on the gunman, which he could have just run like everybody else, he was telling people as they were fleeing to get behind him. Told his girlfriend, he was in the mall shopping with his girlfriend, like a regular day. Told his girlfriend to run or take cover, and then telling people to get behind him and run as he engaged and took out the shooter, who I believe, unfortunately, was capable of killing three people. But again, there are some leftist talking heads out there that are up in arms that this 22-year-old was carrying a gun because the mall had a no firearm policy, which is not against any state statute. So he wasn't breaking the law. The private property, if private property says that you can't have guns on their property, that's the private property's policy. That's not usually the state law. And the worst you could get arrested for is if you didn't comply with that is maybe trespassing or disorderly conduct if you know the law of that state. So they're up in arms about him carrying a gun in a mall after he killed a mass shooter in 15 seconds. The point of this is we cannot allow government and we cannot allow the left to vilify gun ownership. And we need to fight hard to protect the Second Amendment from these commies that want to disarm us. They want us to have no weapons. And we can't let that happen. So if you have the opportunity to support an organization or do something to support the Second Amendment, then do it. So without further ado, joining me now, I have Sean Farish, Captain Deplorable, the founder of Long Island Loud Majority. He's going to come on now with us.
Oh, hey there. Hello there, Mr. Alan Jacoby of the Great Divide. What is going on?
There he is. Sean Farish, also affectionately known as Captain Deplorable. There he is. He's joining me on the Stone Zone, Roger Stone's great show that he lets me fill in for every once in a while. He must not be thinking right, but you know, my good friend Roger, which by the way, Sean, it was great. The other day we were texting and he sends me a video, a Rumble video, and it's you know, promoting the Roger Stone store.com. So you know what? Do we have that video to play? Can we play that quick? Let's see if we have it. It's the Sean Farish Captain Deplorable show. Yeah, let's play that.
Roger Stone, okay, great guy, known him for a long time. Very tough guy, very tough, believe me. It was a witch hunt, okay? It was a hoax, and he was treated very unfairly. We're talking about 29 FBI agents at 6 a.m., and we've never heard of such a thing. It's a disgrace to our great country. Roger Stone did nothing wrong. Get your big, beautiful T-shirt at RogerStoneStore.com. Believe me.
Sean, I can't. I played that video like 20 times since he sent it to me. I mean, it's absolutely out of control. And I feel like every time you do the Trump impression, it just keeps getting better.
Well, he did nothing wrong. And I have a prop. You see this? I have a prop. It's a big, beautiful head of the greatest president in the history of our great country. Repeat the line. The greatest president in the history of our great country. Believe me.
You got to love it. And everybody out there, go to RogerStoneStore.com and get yourself one of the iconic Roger Stone did nothing wrong T-shirts. It's the shirt that he was arrested in. I have one. You got to go get it. There it is. I love wearing that shirt in public because I either get, hey, that's a great shirt, or I get people that want to stab me in the face. Either way,
right.
I like the engagement. And there it is, the shirt. Sean, so we're both Long Island boys. You're the founder of the Long Island Loud Majority. You do amazing work. And we just had some interesting things happen in New York with our Republican nominee for governor, Lee Zeldin. I mean, the guy, it was a attempted assassination, if I have to say anything about it. But that individual that jumped on stage and tried to stab him with a sharp object is walking free right now. So take us into this whole Lee Zeldin thing.
Yeah, of course he's walking free. Well, in New York, you're allowed to be a criminal. You cannot, if you abide by the law, you're the enemy. If you're a criminal, the state is yours. You get to run the state. It's like mob rule. It's a disaster. What we're seeing here, and this is why I love every time Lee Zeldin speaks about what he wants to do regarding, you know, on day one of his administration, when he wins in November, because I do believe he's going to win in November. I think this is the best shot that this state has had, and the best shot that this state will have going forward. This is it. I don't want to say do or die, but I'm going to say it. It's do or die time for New York. He wants to fire Alvin Bragg on day one, the Manhattan district attorney who decided, you know what? Self-defense in the bodega? Jill, it's a bodega, not a bogada, whatever you called it. Okay. Dr. Jill, I apologize before we get, you know, whatever. But, you know, listen, before we do self-defense, it's not murder. They stick this guy in Rikers for a few days. Rikers for self-defense. Right. If there was no security footage of this incident, Jose Alba would be going away for life. For life. There's no doubt about it in my mind. You know, this guy is running, and he's a Soros-backed district attorney. Let's be honest. He's a Soros-backed district attorney. We saw the same thing with what's her name? The one from San Francisco just got recalled.
Not Gascon, the other guy.
Was from Chesa Bodine in San Francisco. Gascon is in Los Angeles, another Soros-backed guy. Bragg, another Soros-backed guy. The one in Philly, Soros-backed. You know, it's about destabilizing society. He calls it open society. Destabilizing society. That's the goal, to weaponize abiding by the law. That's the goal. If you preach law and order, you're a racist. Well, what? Because minorities can't follow the law? No. Everyone's supposed to follow the law. Equal justice under the law. Justice is supposed to be blind. Meanwhile, what do we see? Justice is not blind. We see people from January 6th. It's the fact that we're on Lindell TV means I could say anything. So this is like real raw me, right? January 6th. You have people sitting in jail January 6th, have not been charged yet, have not had their day in court yet. Sitting in prison. Meanwhile, you know what they should do? Just say, hey, I went into the cap. I didn't go in. But if those people say, hey, so-and-so was from January 6th, went into the Capitol, Stephen Colbert told them to do it. That's it. Charges dropped. Out they go. That's how this has been. This is it's disgraceful. Double standard, triple standard. No standards. There are no standards. They're making it up as they go along. And what's happening in New York, crime is being promoted. And abiding by the law is being discouraged. And it's a shame. And that's what we have to live with. And now we have Kathy Hochul, hours before this incident happens with Lee Zeldin, hours, right? Putting out his entire schedule as if to say, hey, troublemakers, here's where you can go make some trouble. And what happens? A guy goes on the stage with a sharp object, tries to stab Lee Zeldin in the neck. But Bruce Lee Zeldin said, absolutely not. Grabbed the wrist. And then Allison Esposito, lieutenant governor candidate, she was a police officer. Kathy Hochul's lieutenant governor is going to jail. You know, Brian Benjamin. So now she's got another pick on it. Yeah. She jumps in like the good cop that she is, takes the guy down, landed a few haymakers, I think, you know, and then started telling the other police officers how to book the dude. You know, nothing's getting past them. My friend Nicole Gargiulo from Smithtown, she comes out. She said, you know what? This is it. This is what we say about that incident. Zeldin Esposito is the team tough enough to save New York. That's it. End of story. And I can't wait for November 8th.
I agree. And we have to, I know you work every day rallying people every day. I don't think you stop. You got headquarters base. I mean, you do your morning talk show. You're doing so much, and you're inspiring a lot of people to get up and do things. And you started that back with the Trump rallies, and it's just morphed into this. Well, with what some people would say in the press is a domestic terrorist organization that you run, Sean. You know,
I'm an extremist. Rush state. That's it. You know, we're the extremists, right? You know, we drove down the road with flags. We said, nah, we don't want to see kids in schools get opposed to sexual content. Nope, that's extreme. That's extreme. Okay, that's transphobic. It's extreme. It's xenophobic. It's this phobic. It's that phobic. You're an ist. You're a phobe. You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're this. You're that. You know what? You see what happened to Zeldin yesterday, or actually what almost happened to Lee Zeldin yesterday. You see that? That's what happens when you just call people extremist and expect it to just be, you know, taken lightly. You can't do that. I said that on Newsmax today. You can't just label somebody an extremist and then unleash the mob on them and expect it to be okay. Kathy Hochul nearly had blood on her hands. She does technically have blood on her hands because Allison Esposito cut her hand. Okay? So Kathy should get the medical bills for that. But, yeah, that's me. I guess I'm a domestic terrorist now. That's what they classify as, or as an anti-government organization. Meanwhile, we worked tirelessly day and night to get our guy, Lee Zeldin, to win the primary to be the next governor of New York. But we're anti-government? Wait. So we're involved in the process from every step of the way. We're involved in the process every step of the way. But we're anti-government. We're getting people. We're looking for candidates. We're trying to put people in spots to win elections. But we're anti-government. It's a load of BS, and absolutely, I can't stand it. But that's why we fight.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting is people like us are extremists, but we're not the ones out there doxing Supreme Court justices trying to get them, one, assassinated, assaulted, stalked in public. We're not wishing violence or death on government officials. I mean, imagine now if Lee Zeldin, who is a candidate for New York governor a second. Let's put that on the shelf. He's a citizen. He's a sitting United States congressman who they attempted. Right. This guy was not charged with attempted murder. He was locked up and he was released. R.O.R. released on his own recognizance. And for his next court date. Now, if this was a Democrat sitting U.S. congressman and this was a Republican extremist that attacked that Democrat, where do you think? Do you think New York State, even if it happened in New York, do you think that individual would have made no bail and been released? Or they would have now said, well, this is a sitting congressman. We have to do something because that congressman's a Democrat. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, of course not. If this was a Republican that rushed the stage of a Democrat, if someone rushed, listen, they probably want to jail half of Madison Square Garden for booing Kathy Hochul at the Ranger game. That's, you know, just honestly, and boy, did she get booed. I mean, boy, did she get booed. And if that doesn't tell you something, look, maybe there's a lot of people from Long Island. Long Island's beet red. I mean, it's red.
Long Island, hold on.
Long Island, ladies and gentlemen, is ultra MAGA. Okay, you see this? This is my ultra MAGA hat. It's a cowboy hat. Long Island's ultra MAGA. We know it. But, you know, if that, they probably want to jail half Madison Square Garden for booing her. It's, and honestly, you know, she's probably really offended by that. But if you're getting booed in the heart of New York City, you're doing something wrong, Kathy. If that was a Republican, quote unquote, extremist, and they exist, Republican extremists exist. There's extremists everywhere. I'm not saying we're perfect. We're not perfect. But if it was somebody rushing the stage on a Democrat like that, saying you're done, trying to stab him with a sharp object, that guy's not getting bail. That guy's not getting out of Rikers or wherever. That guy's getting the book thrown at him. The book. Yeah. And I think turned over to the
FBI because it was a congressman. I mean, he's a federal official.
Yes. Alan, I had a point to say about you said something fantastic. And this is what I've been saying for a while. You said something so on point about inciting, riots or protests outside of the Supreme Court justice's house, which is against the law. Everybody listening to this right now, Frank Speech, Lindell TV, I hear you guys, right? The Stone Zone. Listen to this, right? Anytime a liberal wants to tell you that January 6th was the greatest threat to our country, no, okay? Was it our best day? No, it was not our best day. It wasn't our best day. I'll tell you that right now. I was at January 6th, the protest. I saw it starting to get ugly. Now, luckily, my car, my truck was vandalized. All right. There was two tires slashed on it. So I left early. My name's on a police report. I was nowhere near the breach. I've never been contacted by the feds. Why? Because my name's on a police report. I've got a rock solid alibi. I was nowhere near the Capitol. Wasn't in there. I wasn't the one taking a dump on Nancy Pelosi's desk, although I'd love to, you know, legally, if that's possible. Right. But look, I was out there. My truck got vandalized. 8 of my friends' trucks and cars got vandalized in that parking lot in Fort Totten Police Station. We've got the police report to prove it. Okay. Was January 6th our best day? No. Is that the greatest threat to the United States of America? No. Is the greatest threat to the United States of America the hot weather that we're seeing in the summer? No, because it gets hot in the summer. It's not the first time it's been hot. Is the greatest threat to the United States of America white supremacy? No. Is white supremacy a good thing? It isn't. I denounce it. Equality. I like equality. I like actual diversity, including diversity of thought. Is this something that's the greatest threat to our country? No. The greatest threat to our country were the protests and the riots that were taking place outside of the Supreme Court justices' homes. Why? Because if the mob was able to change the minds of a Samuel Alito or a Neil Gorsuch or a Brett Kavanaugh or an Amy Coney Barrett or even a John Roberts, if they're able to weigh in and pressure the Supreme Court to change its verdict, to change its mind, you don't have a country. You don't.
Right.
Because what happens at that point is, oh, you don't like something? Oh, well, let's just go make some noise outside the Supreme Court. Just go scare the court into ruling in your favor. Don't worry about the Constitution. Your country's gone. The precedent that that would have set, if that would have worked, would have ended the United States of America right there, dead in its tracks. Rest in peace, 1776 to 2022. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But if that continues, and if that does get to a point where it starts to sway the minds of these justices, you have lost your country. And that and those were the greatest threats to our country as we know it. That's why they're trying to distract you with these BS hearings all over the place with January 6th, which they already told you no criminal referrals. So what the hell is the point of watching? I don't know. I can go on forever, but we only have a half hour.
And, you know, I have to have you on my show. We'll have to do more of this.
Well, heck yeah.
What do you think? I don't know. So we have the midterms coming, and you just mentioned the January 6th hearing. So I don't know if you heard, but yesterday was supposed to be their last day, but now they're taking a break because they have more evidence and information to review, and they're going to continue and convene in September. Now, my opinion is that they're just wasting time to get closer and closer to the midterms so they can just showboat as much as they can to show that the big bad orange man is evil, and in the hopes that they could somehow get the DOJ, convince the DOJ and the ridiculous attorney general who should be impeached, Merrick Garland, to indict Donald Trump and put handcuffs on him as optics so that he can't run for president in 2024. Do you think this is just a big delay? What's your take on why they're going to drag this out?
Well, I'll tell you something. Frankenstein has left the lab. It's wreaking havoc in the city. The left has lost control out of everything, right? Oh, they've totally lost control. Yes, they're trying to do this to prevent Trump from running again. Whether they're trying to do it through a legal statute where they say, oh, well, you did A, B, C, D, E, F, G, so you're disqualified, or they're trying to paint him in such a negative light that people lose the support. What I think is happening is what you just said, right? That they're trying to prevent him from running again because they're terrified of him. They're terrified of him, but they have nobody. But there is a silver lining here, and I'll tell you what it is. They have doubled, tripled, quadrupled down that if you question the results of an election, that is a threat. That's terrorism. That's insurrection. So when, and I say when, Republicans sweep the midterms, when they take massive gains like we've never seen, okay, when that happens, they're not going to be able to question whether or not it was fair. They're not going to be able to question whether or not it was rigged. They're not. And how could you lose? Listen, how could you lose? And they're going to lose big in November. How can you lose? You have so much in your favor, right? The media, the print media, digital media, social media, censorship, algorithms, TikTok, YouTube, all of it, Facebook. It's all working in their favor. And Joe Biden's approval rating is 29% because the American people are smarter than what they give them credit for, right? So the silver lining is that if they drag this out, the longer they drag this out, the harder it's going to be for them to delegitimize, you know, because they've objected to every election that a Republican has won since Gore, okay? Yeah. Since Bush Gore, you know? There are people who think that Al Gore won that election. Stacey Abrams still thinks she's the governor of Georgia. And she's running again, which is probably the first time she's ever, quote unquote, run for anything to take a look at her. You know, I don't know who's bigger, her or Brian Stelter, you know, who needs the help more. But, you know, again, the silver lining is that they've lost control of their movement. OK, the movement is going to start to cannibalize and implode. The bottom is near. I believe we're about to hit bottom if we haven't hit it already. I think it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. The closer we get to the midterms, the more reactionary and the bolder the left is going to be to try and appease the woke base. The problem is the woke base is shrinking. The woke base used to be all the minority communities, Hispanics, Latinos. not breakfast tacos, Asians, Indians, blacks. You're seeing all of these groups now start to go, hold on a second. You know, Donald Trump might have been a little weird with the tweets. He might have called, you know, people crossing the border bad hombres. He might have done that. But, hey, life was better. 401k was in a better spot. Gas was cheaper. You know, we didn't have to hear about it's Putin's fault. Donald Trump said, hey, this is I did this. Record low black unemployment, record low female unemployment, record low Hispanic unemployment. Doesn't sound like a racist or a white supremacist to me. They're realizing that the Republican Party, especially the new direction of the Republican Party, isn't just a big tent. It's a huge tent. OK, and it's it is playing to that larger audience to attract those voters in the midterms. And you'll see, just look what happened. Myra Flores winning her seat and the way that Latinos, not Latinxes, have broken to our, you know, in our direction. It's a big indicator, and things are going to change in November, and they're going to change for the better.
I sure hope so. Give me your summation on our Sleepy Joe, quadruple vaccinated Sleepy Joe coming down with COVID, and not the and the White House not wanting to say where he got infected, because I thought contact tracing was a big thing. I mean, what's the story with this?
Yeah, contact tracing. So they don't know where the hell he got it. Probably because they really don't know where the hell he got. They're probably still blown away by the fact that, you know, he's been vaccinated four times on each arm, that he got it. You know, meanwhile, Anthony Fauci 2 weeks ago came out and said, oh, yeah, that's right. The vaccines don't prevent infection. Well, I thought saying that gets you banned. I thought that was you're a science denier. You're a horrible person. You're a terrorist. You're going to kill grandma. No, it's the Democrats that killed grandma, right? Andrew Cuomo sticking all these people in nursing homes. I put a video up today. It's on TikTok. It's all over social media. CaptainDeplorable45.com. It's everywhere. And it's, you know, we basically, I did the whole thing, right? Sleepy Joe. Hopefully he bounces back because I'm not a leftist. I don't wish death on my political opponents. Sleepy Joe. Hopefully he bounces back from the China virus because it came from China. And hopefully he bounces back quicker than he bounced back from falling off of the bike. You know, you saw that Road Rash Joe. I call him Road Rash Joe. It's a horrible thing. And hopefully he bounces back. But the only good thing about it is that Sleepy Joe might lose his sense of smell. Now he doesn't have the ability to sniff the little girls anymore. He doesn't have the ability to sniff. And it's actually a good thing. I hope Joe gets better. I have no idea how he got sick. I didn't think it was possible after getting vaccinated that much. But then again, I guess the science was wrong, as it's been so often in the past.
Yeah. What's on the agenda for Long Island La Majority going into the summer? You're working on a bunch of campaigns. You're rocking and rolling. What's next for you in the Long Island La Majority?
Well, we're focused on District 1 right now because that's the seat that Lee Zeldin is going to be vacating as he runs for governor. And the primary is on August 23rd. And so we're focused on pushing our candidate. Her name is Michelle Bond. We think she's a great candidate out here in District 1, a female entrepreneur, self-made businesswoman. You know, she's a mother of two, really pursued the American dream. And she brings up a good point. The reason she's running, one of the major reasons she's running, is that if the party-backed candidate, Nick LaLota, who worked for Steve Israel, you know, and helped to write Obamacare, who wanted to defund the Amity Harbor police, and who thinks that it's a good thing if the illegals get driver's licenses in the state of New York, if he wins that seat now in an R+5 district and becomes the next congressman in District 1, we will lose our voice on the House Financial Services Committee that Lee Zeldin currently resides. You know, he currently has a seat on the House Financial Services Committee. What does that mean? If we lose that voice, you are now looking at Suffolk County, which the roads are bad enough out here, losing out on federal money, losing out on the ability to maintain the infrastructure out here. We can't lose that seat. It's very important for people to realize we can't lose that seat. And there's no better person to put in that seat than a businesswoman herself who's been successful in handling money and doing what she can. She's great. I've met with her. I've met with almost every candidate in the race. I haven't met with the party-backed candidate because I know enough about them to know not to get involved. Plus, Suffolk County GOP's leadership is weak at best. They spent over $500,000 on it. Yeah, the establishment has spent over almost a half million dollars on a county clerk's race. Now they've got nothing to dump into congressional seats. So, you know, and they did that all out of pride, and they let their egos get in the way. It's bad. But, you know, we're excited on that campaign. We're very excited for the the governor's race. We were excited to see Lee Zeldin win his primary by about 20 or so points in the state of New York. He won it convincingly. Now it's very nice to see folks like Rob Astorino and Andrew Giuliani campaigning with Lee Zeldin to unify and take back New York. Yeah. Because if we don't do it now, listen, we're not going to survive four more years of Hochul. I know so many people who are ready to dig in and fight like hell. That's the words that they say, you know, it's insightful. But Eric Adams said it, so now I'm going to say it. We're going to fight like hell to make sure that we don't lose our state. We can win now. We have the best chance to do it. Energy, energy, energy. We sit on so much shale. You know, the energy that we have in upstate New York alone can power Europe for the next 150 years. And we have banned fracking. Okay. Yeah. People are going to freeze to death this winter. People are going to freeze to death this winter in upstate New York if they can't afford to heat their homes. It's going to happen, Alan. I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now. In October, leading into the elections, when people can't afford to put gas into and heat their homes and buy that gas and fuel their homes, it's going to hurt people in upstate New York. The people don't understand Long Island. The winter comes early up there. You know, Halloween, it's cold. People got to heat their homes. Pipes are going to burst. People are going to die, unfortunately. It's not fear-mongering. These are facts here. Energy, energy, energy. It's energy independence. Putting New York first, producing its own energy helps put America first. Lee Zeldin is about that, bringing upstate to the game. He wants to bring crime down in New York City by firing Alvin Bragg day one. He's going to remove all COVID mandates day one. So we're focused on District 1 right now until August 23rd. And then the big game, eyes on the prize, November 8th, take back New York. We think we can win Congressional District 4, Anthony D'Esposito. We know we're going to win Congressional District 3. We just had George Santos on our show this morning. We will not comply in the morning show. We can win. Well, we'll see what happens in District 2. It might be Andrew Garbarino, or it could be Rob Cornicelli. Hopefully it's him. We're going to take District 1. We may have all the congressional districts here on Long Island red for the first time in God knows how long as we take back our state. District 19, Mark Molinaro in upstate New York, Otsego County, all the friends that I have up there. He's in a special election right now to flip that seat. That's Antonio Delgado's seat. If he wins on August 23rd, he's the congressman in District 19. He has to defend the seat again in November, but it's a bellwether. It's going to show you how this state is going. And if Mark Molinaro pulls that off by double digits, I think you're going to see the Democrats crap themselves, the likes of which we've never seen before.
I hope so. Listen, we need to save New York, and Sean, you're on the road to do it. Where can everybody find you and your show and everything else about, you know, the Long Island Loud Majority and Captain Deplorable?
All right, so Long Island Loud Majority is great. LoudMajorityUS.com. Head over to our Rumble channel, Rumble.com/LoudMajorityUS. We do our live streams Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Eastern Time. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. LoudMajorityUS.com or on Facebook.com/LILoudMajority. Truth Social, love it. At Loud Majority on Truth Social. And then for the impressions and the funny skits that I like to do in the sketches with the Captain Deplorable 45 team, that's at CaptainDeplorable45.com. We are 5 minutes away right now from the next episode of the Captain Deplorable podcast. It is dropping at 6 p.m. today. We interviewed Captain Deplorable's favorite press secretary, Sean Spicer. And there's a debate as to who is the favorite press secretary. Is it Spicer? Is it Kaylee? Or is it Sarah Huckabee Sanders? The captain himself, he says it all the time. They're all my favorite, but there's a debate going on. We don't know who it is. So tune in. It's dropping in 5 minutes, 6 p.m. Eastern time, the Captain Deplorable 45 podcast. Everybody watching, you can tune into that podcast. It drops at 6 p.m. Eastern. It'll be out in 5 minutes. Sean Spicer. Next week, we have Cash Patel. The week after that, I believe we have Benny Johnson. So we have such great guests on that show, and it keeps getting better and better. I know we're going to be interviewing, I think, Clay and Buck from the Clay and Buck show soon. So, and I'm very excited to ask Clay Travis a very personal question, which I'm not going to reveal here, but it's about what he said on CNN a few years ago. So it's exciting, but that's where you can find us. LoudMajorityUS.com, CaptainDeplorable45.com, at CaptainDeplorable45 on Truth Social. My personal handles are everywhere. You see my name on the screen. Just search it, and you can find me on all social medias.
Great, Sean. I really appreciate you coming on to the Stone Zone, Roger Stone's great show on Lindell TV at frankspeech.com. And I'll be in touch. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thank you, Alan.
All right, Sean. Take care. All right, everybody. Sean Farish, Captain Deplorable. Amazing guy. You got to follow him. You got to check out his morning show Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays over on Rumble. He's also on my network that I own, the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. And remember, everybody, RogerStoneStore.com. Go over there. Get your Roger Stone t-shirts. Roger Stone still did nothing wrong. On top of that, there you go. There's the shirt. Let's not forget to support Roger and Lindell TV over at MyPillow.com. Promo code STONE. You'll save a boatload over there. I appreciate you joining the Stone Zone today. I am your guest host, Alan Jacoby. I'm with Roger every Thursday for a little bit at 5 p.m. Eastern on Lindell TV. You can also find my show over at TheGreatDivide1776.com. You can get me on Truth Social, The Great Divide Podcast, on Instagram, Facebook. I'm on Rumble. I'm everywhere. I'm also on the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. Thank you, everybody, for joining the Stone Zone today. Roger will be back with you Monday. Great American patriot that he is out there saving America. Everybody, God bless and take care. We'll see you soon.